We are live. Time to play the intro.
Hello and welcome to DFS Deep Dive. My name is Brian Craighead, and Mav and I, as you see Mav there on screen, will be your hosts this year. For those that followed us last year, we've had a little bit of turnaround. We've changed websites, and we've also had one of our fellow hosts that he had some very important things to do, so he won't be joining us right now. But we hope for him to join us later in the year. From what hopefully y'all remember, we're a DFS pod. We'll be recurring. We may be doing a different date moving forward, but we're still in discussions with that. But most importantly, like I said, we're a DFS pod, and our main platform is going to be DraftKings. So just wanted y'all to know that. Like I said, we're no longer with Christian Williams and the Cut. We've changed it over to For Fantasy Sake with DJ Jarvis and Doug Green. Those are great guys. I do a Sunday pod with them as well, so I'm really excited about that. For all of our Twitter content, you can find that at FFSQC, and all of our written content, you can actually find that at forfantasysakeqc.com. So, like I said, we're just excited to be back for another year. It made some changes, but that's okay. And another thing to keep in mind is, as I mentioned, we hope that we'll have some Friday night guests with us and have some guests for future pods, and got a lot of people that seem interested. So hopefully maybe starting next week, we'll have some other people join us. But Mav, how are you doing this evening?
Not too bad. Kind of just drove as fast as I could back, you know, home from work, but, you know, made it work. I haven't done anything football related all year, so it's great to be back.
How was work today?
A little slow, because I work at Best Buy now, but just like third party. So seeing how dead it was for like a new iPhone release was actually very shocking.
Did you get a chance to watch the game last night?
So a little bit of it. I saw first half, saw the pick six, which isn't surprising. I don't think people realize how many pick sixes Herbert throws against the Chiefs. Especially when it's pretty much to seal the game. I remember as a rookie, when he threw the pick six, had it been a touchdown, they beat the Chiefs again and happened again last night. So when I saw it, I was just like, oh, this is just what Herbert does against the Chiefs at this point.
Yeah, that was the turning point of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it pretty much, as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, I don't think the Chargers are gonna like bounce back from it for the most part, because now you just gave the Chiefs way too much life when they're pretty much dead in the water.
From a fantasy perspective, definitely had some guys have big games. Mike Williams, I think, scored about 25 fantasy points, and Gerald Everett did okay. Josh Palmer scored a touchdown, seemed to do okay. For the Chiefs side, especially the receiving core, is kind of a slow game, but CEH wound up having a pretty good yardage game. But I didn't get the chance to see time of possession, but I'm assuming because of that pick six, there was kind of a time of possession swing for that.
Score was 10-0. Chiefs had a slow start, a couple of three and outs. I've only done one redraft league. Like when I needed a break from fantasy football, like I didn't do anything other than a redraft league with some friends from high school. And I had Mike Williams, and I needed that game because he no-showed last week. He had like one target going into like the last half of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it made for an interesting night of football, a competitive game for sure. But yeah, I'm excited to be back. I've done a few other pods, but at the same time, first time for this one, so I'm really excited. But I want to go over a few basics. Like I said, for fantasy sakes, our new website. We appreciate all the help that Christian Williams gave us last year. He's gone into bigger and better things. He's working for Football Guys, from what I understand. So
Oh, nice.
I'm happy for him. We got a lot of other pods that we also have besides ours. Like I said, right now tonight we're on Friday at 8, but we're going to ask about maybe moving it to Thursday moving forward. We'll see how that goes. And like I said, we do have several other pods that I want to mention. The first one that's the original and also kind of the what you call the mainstream satellite one is the main show on Sunday. It runs from 10:00 Central to 11:30. I'm excited to be part of that. Last year I did DFS on there. I did a 15-minute segment for that. But this year I'm one of three hosts. Like I was mentioning, DJ Jarvis is definitely on there last week with me. Doug Green, I think, will be coming on this coming week. And then also we had another gentleman by the name of Chris Still that is very insightful. That was nice to have him on there. And in a coordination, we got another football one that's pretty much all football. It's called Monday Night Hammer. That was on last year. That's run by Nick Garral and also Michael Ciccoli. And then we've got a few other ones as well. We've got Educated Ignorance with Joe Winkle. His podcast usually fall on the day of the game. We've got the Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson. And last but not least, we got Card Subject to Change. And when it was tweeted over to me, there was something Card Subject to Change, I was kind of thinking in regards to the host. But that's actually the name of the pod. And it's a little bit different swing. It's actually a wrestling pod. And that's hosted by Chris Zach and Nick Bell. So I wanted to go ahead and just throw those out there. Got a wide variety of podcasts for your listening pleasure. So hopefully you'll join in on some of those. And a couple of things I want to go into. What we'll do here shortly is we'll kick it over to Matt for his lineups and that kind of content. But I wanted to remind you that once again we're DraftKings. We've got a $50,000 salary cap just like last year. One thing I want to get away from this year that I did a lot last year was like salary and also position requirements. I think this is going to be a one-time overview, but for tonight and every week, you have to fill 9 positions. You got to do quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a defense. So just keep that in mind when filling your lineups. Like I said, last year, it had to get mundane. I would mention it each and every pod and finally got to the point of like, well, you know, that's a little excessive, so I'm going to get away from that. One thing that's a little different this year, though, I want to roll through real quick and keep these injuries in mind, is we got a handful of injuries that are important. A few guys have already been ruled out today. KJ Hamler's out. Chris Godwin's out. Damian Williams, the running back for the Falcons, is out. Rondell Moore, Michael Gallup, and also Wandale Robinson. And then you got a couple of other, you got one other guy that's listed as doubtful. He's not a huge fantasy player, but he had a decent game as the third down back for the Raiders last week, Brandon Bolden. And another couple of games, guys you have to watch are George Kittle. He finally practiced today after missing last week, but he's currently questionable. He's a big name. And then I think J.K. Dobbins is another one. He's practicing full all week, but when he was asked today whether he was going to go, he said, we'll see. So I don't know. I don't really know what that means. I would like to think he's going to play, but you never can tell. And those are the primary ones. There are a few other ones. Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, also Julio Jones, that – missed practice yesterday, but they came back to practice today, and I think they'll play. And Michael Pittman's in that same group. So when you're setting your lineups, just be sure every week and this week as well to check your inactives at 10:30 Central for the early games, just to make sure everything's going to be set up. So Mav, what does your lineup look like tonight?
Let me open that. There we go. I was just looking at the injuries.
See if there's anything I might have missed. I tried to write them down the best I could.
Yeah, the only thing is like Julio didn't practice today. I don't think Russell Gage practiced today. We already know about the obvious ones like Dak being out like 6 weeks. Elijah Mitchell. What's he done for the year? Yeah, that's pretty much it for now. Yeah,
I tried to highlight him. I didn't want to use a huge segment, but at the same time, I wanted to make everybody aware that there, just like every week, there's the injuries, and Dak's kind of up in the air. Jerry Jones says 4 weeks, but I've heard as much as 8, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that, but this is something that will come up later, but Cooper Rush is going to be the starting quarterback. I think he's been on the roster for going on about 4 or 5 years now, and as part of my lineup, and I don't want to spoil my whole lineup, but I went ahead and took the Bengals, kind of a cheat code to me.
I have CeeDee Lamb in my redraft, and this might be the last year I take him in redraft as early as I took him. Took him in the second round.
You took him in the second round of redraft?
Yeah, because I had the number one pick.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so I took JT. If I had anywhere from the third pick and on, I probably would have taken Justin Jefferson with even like the number three pick.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson was right there for me. I was the one-on-one, and I went up taking Jonathan Taylor, but in all honesty, I told my friends that were in the league that I thought about Justin Jefferson, and I really did. And it went, yeah. CMC went third. I forget who went second, but it was a surprise to me.
Okay.
It was another running back. It may have been Henry.
Derrick Henry? Yeah, probably. All right. So with my DraftKings selections, I went with a stack here of Joey Burrow, 6,600, and Ja'Marr Chase at 8,000. So we kicked it off strong early. Running back, we stayed strong, and we went Saquon at 7,300. Running back two at 6,000, who was a top three, I believe, in rushing attempts, Cordarrelle Patterson. And at this point, if they're going to move the ball, he's going to be involved somehow. I kind of felt the same way about him even going into the year. He was snatched right before me. I think it was like round 7 in redraft. He was taken right before me. So I definitely had a chance to take Cordarrelle Patterson, and I missed it. Now, for wide receiver 2, we went very cheap on wide receivers here, which is not what I normally do. I'm usually higher on receivers. But at 5,300, we went with Robbie Anderson. Seems to be Baker's boy over there in Carolina, and they're going up against the Giants. The defense is a little, you know, so-so. We don't really know what to expect yet because they went up against the Tennessee Titans, who don't have receivers. So we'll see if he continues to be Baker's favorite receiver. And at 4,600, surprise, he won't be this cheap for so long, but we went with Corey Davis. All he's missing is a touchdown. The reception, the targets are there. The yardage is there. He just needs a touchdown. That's a nice 20 point game there against Cleveland. But Joe Flacco had zero time. I mean, not Joe. I mean, not against the Browns. He went up against the Ravens. He had no time. So we'll see if he has a better game against the Browns this time around. At tight end, we went cheap here. I'm hoping this team has a better game, which means some scores in the red zone. And you already know who scores in the red zone very often. We're going to go with Hunter Henry at 36.
Not to interrupt, but it's kind of interesting. Our first night doing the show this year, and our two teams are playing. So
yeah. For my flex, I normally don't go with three receivers at all. But we went with 5,600, James Robinson. Right, he had a great game, week one.
What were his stats last week? I know he had a good game, but
He had 2 touchdowns, which helped.
Oh, like, of course, but
yeah.
How many carries did he have?
Yeah, he had 11 for 66, and just one. Yeah, so it was the touchdowns that gave it to him. But I'm gonna hope that he gets more touches. And hopefully the Jaguars do better on offense overall. Because if the better they do, the better James Robinson's going to do.
Robinson had a knee injury, correct? That he was coming back from?
Yes. Torn Achilles in December.
Yeah. So, you know, considering first game, and he had, I think he had missed part of the OTAs and stuff like that. That was really good for him.
Yeah.
To come back at all, let alone have that big a game.
Mm-hmm. There's other pivots here you could go to that I thought of, but I don't know what, because the way I did it, Saquon Barkley was actually, I took him as my flex because I had that much money left over. So I took James Robinson like somewhere like up here, and I realized how much money I had, so I took James Robinson.
What were the stats on Robbie Anderson? I saw that one big touchdown for I think it was 75 yards. What were the final stats for him?
5 for 102 and a touchdown.
You know, last year he was kind of on a milk carton. You didn't really see him much, but I think maybe he's a new connection with Baker.
Yeah, because Baker likes he likes the deep ball. Defense, and for defense, we went Pats here at 2,900.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Who'd you go with?
Pats defense at 2,900 because I only had 3,000 left.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, they're going against, even as a Steelers fan, the offense didn't look good last week. I'm hoping they'll be better this week, but
yeah,
it has one of the lowest implied totals. I think it's right at 40. So I think both defenses in this one are actually pretty good opportunities.
The other pivots I had here at around the 5,700 range, even Christian Kirk had a good game. He had 6 for 117. You can throw in a touchdown in there, and that's a 26-point game there. Henderson, he might continue to see more touches, and they're going up against the Falcons, so you never know. If you want to take a shot at Jerry Jeudy, he had a very good game. He had 102 yards with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson likes the deep ball. And if Jerry Judy's that guy for Russell Wilson, when you want to let him cook, he can be a solid option at that price range.
He's several hundred below Cortland Sutton in regards to price this week, too, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, Sutton is 6,100.
You can like both of them, but it kind of depends on what kind of salary you have left over. So
yeah, and all Sutton needs is pretty much a touchdown here to have a much better game than just 11 points. He had 4 for 72. You had Zeke here at 5,900. If you want to, you want some wiggle room. I think they're definitely going to run the ball more. Deontay Johnson at 5,800. You know, like I said, you just got to wiggle some money around. With my lineup, you can go cheaper than Saquon here. But like my immediate pivot would be like Christian Kirk instead of James Robinson. Still the same team.
Same game with Jags. No, they definitely did some productive things last week, so definitely find that interesting. Like you said, Christian Kirk coming over with in a new system that did exceedingly well.
Yeah.
The Zeke, they're definitely going to have to handle the ball off. I just hope they don't stack the box and they can do enough at least a little passing to kind of open up a little bit for him. Because he looked good last week when he gave the opportunity.
Yeah, another pivot play too is Tyler Boyd with no Higgins. Can be an interesting play there.
I think Higgins will play. Higgins was he was in concussion protocol. He missed the second half of last week's game.
Did he clear? Did he clear?
Yep. Okay. Well, I don't know that it's official, but on Wednesday he came back to a limited practice. On Thursday he missed practice due to personal reasons. And then today he came back and practiced again. So I don't know that I've seen verbatim that he's cleared, but I'm pretty sure based on what I've read that he'll be able to play Sunday. But still, in that offense, as long as the Cowboys can keep competitive in that offense, you never know. And there's always opportunity for at least two, which could be Boyd, and or maybe sometimes it's not uncommon for them to have all three, as long as Dallas can keep the game close.
A great cheap option, Jarvis Landry at 5,000.
He had a heck of a game last week.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, him and Michael Thomas both had big games last week.
Curtis Samuel.
Oh, man. Talking about a guy that missed all of last year, but he wound up having a real good game this year.
He's sitting at 4,600, same price as Corey Davis. But yeah, there goes my lineup.
Well, I like pretty much everything in the lineup. I definitely like the stack. You'll see some of the same players coming out when I read my lineup as well. But in regards to, I mean, definitely didn't see anything that I would question. Can you read your lineup briefly one more time? Just name.
Yeah, I had Burrow, Barkley, Cordarrelle Patterson, James Robson, Chase, Corey Davis, Robbie Anderson, Hunter Henry, and the Pats defense.
Yeah, like you said, Corey Davis. Even in PPR, one thing for everybody to keep in mind in PPR, and I was thinking about this when you mentioned you didn't have the touchdown, you can still have a big PPR game like he did last week, just by catching those short balls. And Flacco's an experienced quarterback, and he obviously. What were his final stats last week?
Corey Davis or Flacco?
Corey Davis.
6 for 77.
Yeah, I mean, so and that's, they didn't what, 13.7 off the top of my head? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good.
All he needs is a touchdown there. That's a much better game.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but for 4,600, if you got 14 points out of that, we'd be pretty thrilled, I think. So, So I'm gonna go back. I'm going to double back to something that I like to there's a couple of criteria that I use in regards to setting my lineups, and they're pretty important to me. You know, it's something I used last year, and works out pretty well. The two main things that I like to use are what they call implied totals, and I also like to use defensive points against. And implied totals are fairly simple, but there's a website, VegasInsider.com. You can get Vegas lines pretty much anywhere, but I go to VegasInsider.com to check up both the spread as well as the over-under. And so last night's game between the Chargers had a over-under of 54 points, and the spread was 4 for the Chiefs. And the way an over-under, the way that an implied total works is you take the total, 54, you divide it in half, so that's 27, and to get your spread difference, you add two to the team that's the favorite and take two away from the team that's the underdog. So basically, the Chiefs start out at 27, you add 2 to get 29, and the Chargers, since they're at 27, you have to take 2 away, that becomes 29-25. So if you put your two totals together, 29 plus 25, that gets your over under 54. Now, where that's important, you have several teams that are below 20 points. Now, I'm not ever telling you completely to stay away from a team just because they have a low point total. Like Mav just suggested right there, Corey Davis is at 4,600. The Jets, I think, are a somewhat improved team, although right now, probably without Zach Wilson, they're not at the absolute best game that they can be. But at the same time, if you've got the right price tag, a lower price tag, I'm okay playing it. But whenever you're looking through your DraftKings prices, just keep that in mind, that you want players that have higher implied totals. They're usually going to score more. Like Mav just mentioned, if Corey Davis had just had a touchdown, then his total would look that much better. Well, the problem is, I don't know what their implied total was last week because they didn't really run the totals. But if the Jets are expected to score 20 points or less, then it's kind of hard to predict on that. So that's an important thing. And the other thing is that I like to look at, like I said, is defensive points against. Now, what this is, all four of your major positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, they each have points last year based on the 32 teams that played them. Certain teams give up more points to quarterbacks. Certain teams give more points to running backs, whatever. I mean, whatever the situation is, there are just certain teams that give up massive amounts of points. So for each of those positions, I try my best to find good matchups where they're going against defenses that allow more points. Just like we talked about, or just like I talked about, sometimes when you have lower implied totals, you may also not have perfect matchups, but you might have a better price tag. And when you're dealing with a salary cap of $50,000, sometimes you have to go with the lesser price tags to get, you know, to make that work. And one way that I try to encourage my way of thinking in regards to getting my price tags to work under $50,000, I try to start out with a cheap defense. I then go to tight end. I rarely have a Darren Waller, George Kittle, Travis Kelce. I rarely have those top end type guys. I always try to go a little cheaper. So those are a couple of positions that I work with. And then outside of that, I also like to go with a flex typically. Like Mav said, you can always start running back, wide receiver, and or tight end there. Any of those three positions. I don't love to double up at tight end because tight ends typically don't score a ton of points, but at the same time you can if you don't find a running back or wide receiver you like. So this week, I kind of found it to be a pretty interesting week. There are four main slate games, what I would call primetime games, and that's always going to be your Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night games. So last night, like we briefly talked about, the Chargers and Chiefs played. Pretty competitive game, final score 27-24. Had some pretty decent fantasy implications, so that made for interesting. Then coming up on Sunday night, you've got the Bears at the Packers. And then kind of really offset from most years in week one, you have two Monday night games. Well, last week, they allowed us to have one Monday night game. And unless you had some fantasy players directly involved in the game, it wound up competitive, but not very exciting because Denver left a ton of points in the red zone. So final score is 17-16, so not that pretty. But this week you've actually got the two Monday games that are usually week one. And it's the Titans at the Bills and also the Vikings and the Eagles. And they both start within, from what I understand, about an hour of each other, which in years past, most of the time, the first game would start like, several of us were talking about this last night. The game usually started like 4:30 or 5, and the other game didn't really overlap much, if any. But this year, there's a pretty good overlap. But the one thing that I found really interesting is, like I was talking about, the implied totals. So your Thursday night teams are both high-scoring teams. The Packers weren't last week, but they certainly had the potential to be so. Then you got the Bills, the Vikings, and the Eagles. All those are pretty good scoring teams. And the Titans are fair. I mean, they're the worst out of the group. But still, they're fair. So for the entire week, you actually only had 12 teams that had implied totals of 25 points or more, or they were expected to score 25 points or more. The interesting thing about that, six of those were actually in your primetime games, which leaves you six teams. And it's a 12-game slate, so you got 24 teams. So six teams out of the 24 total that are expected to score 25 points or more. And I was kind of floored by that information. And your six teams that are expected to score that many, and we call it the main slate that we're discussing. So the Colts are expected to score 25 at the Jags. We've talked about the Bengals a little bit, but they're at 25 as well. The 49ers at 28 versus the Seahawks. The Rams are at 29 versus the Falcons. The Broncos are at 28 versus the Texans. And last but not least are the Raiders at 29 versus the Cardinals. So like I said, you've got very minimal teams, and you will see that my lineup kind of tries to reflect some of those teams in it. So, for me, my quarterback, first of all, I started with a little mini stack. And based on last week's game against the Bills, I know it's ugly. You've got to cover your eyes and hope for the best, I guess. But I expect them to bounce back against the Falcons. They're at home. The Falcons were actually, they won last week. Let me think. They lost by that Will Lutz kick last week, didn't they, Matt?
Yeah, the Falcons lost. They're up big, as they always are, and throw it away somehow at the end.
He had that really, really long field goal, didn't he, to win the game?
Let me check what the how that game ended. Falcons.
Seems like it was a long one off the top of my head.
51 yards, yeah.
Yeah, so they lost in the last second field goal. They played pretty well, to be perfectly honest with you, I thought, but I'm not sure that their team's improved that much, and I expect a lot of losses still. So my quarterback is going to be Matthew Stafford. His price tag is $6,300. Along with him, I wanted to go with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson was on a milk carton last week, unfortunately. I think he wound up with two catches. But his price tag is $5,500. One thing I liked about the team is their implied total was right at the very top with 29. And then in regards to how many points, fantasy points that they give up to the quarterback, it's actually 28. And wide receivers, it's 30th. So not only do you have a good matchup, but you've also got a high implied total. So that's really important to me. Now, a place where Mav and I completely agreed on, Saquon Barkley. He looked like the old Saquon last week. His price tag is too low at $7,300. Didn't get reset enough after last week, but that's life sometimes. And the opposing defense gives up the 29th most fantasy points. And the implied total is not great, but they actually played pretty well last week and went down to Tennessee and picked up a win. Kind of a gutsy call there at the end. Did you see any of that game, Mav?
The Giants-Titans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching it at work.
They went for a two-point conversion there near the end of regulation to win the game, right?
The Giants? I don't remember seeing the two-point conversion. Yeah, they did. Because they won by eight.
Yeah, so that was a pretty wild.
I mean, they won by one. They scored 8 points.
I missed it.
No. Wait, hold on. What am I forgetting here? Oh, yeah. Okay, so Daniel Jones passed to Saquon Barkley for a two-point conversion. Yeah, there we go. They didn't go for it. So the thing is, I think when this happened, I was driving home from work, so I didn't actually see this last touchdown. The last thing I remember watching was when Daniel Jones threw probably one of the worst back shoulder throws I've ever seen in the red zone, and actually threw a pick in the red. I thought the game was over, so I kind of just stopped like paying attention to it. And then I get home and hear that the Giants won.
Yeah, it was a wild game. I remember watching it, and even immediately after, the Giants fans were talking about how gutsy it was, because I think there was less than 2 minutes remaining if memory serves for when they went to 2 points. They could have tied it up.
There was a whole minute left.
Yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't any time left. So that's pretty gutsy play. But Saquon, to me, was very nimble. I mean, he looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about his coming season. So I went with him. And my other running back, and you'll see this team mentioned. I've got a little stack here. It's a little mini stack. Joe Mixon at running back. And just like Mav, when I went Jamar Chase, $7,200 for Mixon. $8,000 for Jamar Chase. Dallas did a decent job against both the run and pass last year, but they still gave up the 15th most and 19th most fantasy points. And the implied total for the Bengals is 25. So that's one of those 25 and overs that I don't mind. So, like I've said, I've got Jamar Chase and Allen Robinson at two of my three wide receivers. My third one is Michael Thomas. We briefly mentioned Jarvis Landry, but Thomas scored two touchdowns last week. So he's one of those players that's been out for 2 years, but I'm pretty excited. They didn't adjust his salary enough either. He's at $5,600. I don't love the matchup. The Bucs provide pretty stiff competition. They gave up the fourth most fantasy points last year, so I don't love that. And the implied total is not perfect either for the Saints at 21. But the Bucs-Saints game's always been competitive. So I don't love it, but at the same time, $5,600 just stood out to me as being too low. So at this point in time, my flex and also my tight end are for the same team. I went, based on last week, it looks like they're going to let Carson Wentz throw the ball all over the place. That was one thing. They still don't trust Antonio Gibson in the running game, I don't think. So I've got Logan Thomas at tight end, and I went with Jahmyr Dotson at wide receiver. Dotson's at $4,200. Thomas is at $3,400. So they're both cheap options. And once again, that's not great in regards to fantasy points given up, but pretty decent. Is 14th and 10th, and the implied total is 24. So I kind of want to go with some cheap components in that game and see if they can do it again. And last but not least, we kind of already briefly mentioned the Bengals defense.
I'm on there, man. I found him.
I'm sorry, man.
No, I couldn't find Dotson for a second. I found him. Sorry.
He scored 2 touchdowns last week. I want his target share to go up. I think he only had 5 targets for the game, maybe 3 catches and 2 touchdowns, and that's going to have to improve a little bit. But for a rookie, he played well.
Yeah, he got 3 for 40, 5 targets total and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he played well. He's athletic tight end, athletic wide receiver from Penn State, so I kind of like him. And then, like I was saying, the Bengals defense is, I don't know, they should be in a good position. They have to stop the run, but Cooper Rush isn't really going to scare you in the drop back very much, I don't think. So, actually, even with Dak playing, the Cowboys give up the 27th most fantasy points to opposing defenses, so they're prone to turnovers and sacks anyway, but Cooper Rush seems to be in a world of hurt to me. And the Cowboys have the lowest implied total on the board is 17. So at $2,200, I couldn't hardly pass up the Bengals. Man, have you got any pivots off that you'd like to suggest?
I don't know about Allen Robinson, because Stafford had plenty of opportunities to give him the ball where Robinson's like literally flashing in front of him, wide open, and he just refused to give it to him, and he would run with the ball instead. So I will go with Jerry Jeudy for $100 more, because that's what you have left, over Allen Robinson.
That makes sense. I could see even changing that, because Jeudy was the one that had that, I think it was about a 70-yard touchdown pass on Monday night. So I could see that. I like to stack, but I don't necessarily have to stack.
And even Robbie Anderson for 200 less, which will actually give you 300. And you can go from Stafford to Burrow, and you can have that stack instead.
That's a good point. since I like the stack anyway, I'm missing out on a potential stack there.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that.
Which honestly, that would probably give you a very closer resemblance to my team. Because I have Burrow and Chase, and I was willing to, like, one of my pivots was Jeudy instead of James Robinson. So
the funny thing is, when I list off a few of my pivots, we'll look really close. Any other ones you'd like to suggest?
No, I think that's it.
One thing to keep in mind, listeners, that starting next week, Mav and I are going to have spread picks. We both had some pretty busy weeks. And on Wednesday, one of our favorite people, Luke, told us that he had a lot of things going on. And so we missed him. Shout out to Luke. And he had a heck of a fan base last year. So we'll definitely miss the fan base. Mav and I will have to try to build our own fan bases, but we definitely miss Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to... I didn't know how much time we have left over, so I'm going to run down some of my other potential pivot plays for y'all. And starting next week, we'll definitely have spread picks at the end. I didn't make any today because I had COVID back in July. They've had me on physical therapy for the last 2 months, and today I graduated. So as of today, I'm still walking with a walker, but as of today, I get to do my own physical exercises at home. So. That's pretty exciting. I was in the hospital for 5 days, so I'm just glad to be here with y'all. But some names we haven't mentioned yet, but some of their components we have. A quarterback, I was looking at Russell Wilson. Price, $7,200. I also like a couple of cheaper ones. I've got components of his offense. Carson Wentz at the Lions, sitting at $5,800. Last but not least in the quarterback segment, Matt Ryan playing at the Jags. He's at $5,500. All three of those defenses that they're playing give up, and that would be the Texans, the Lions, and the Jags, give up the 21st most last year, the 29th, and the 30th most fantasy points. And I don't know if I mentioned this. I probably didn't in my spiel. But being week two, I use last year's data for fantasy points against for the first 4 weeks. Then after 4 weeks, you have enough of you have enough data and enough material. Keep in mind that's not perfect because there are teams that made personnel changes over the offseason and all that. But in regards to what you're going to have available, you could look and say, okay, well, team X gave up the most points, most fantasy points to tight ends last week. Well, one game's just simply not enough of a data source to look at. So I typically look at last year for the first four games. And that's one thing I like to do.
I didn't realize.
Matt, did you have any other quarterbacks you think about?
I didn't realize how many, like, tier one options are playing on Monday.
Well, that's what I was looking at. It's just, even last night, is if you look at your typical, like, best players, there's very few on this main slate. Mahomes played last night. Herbert played last night.
Yeah, you have even Fields. He's not like a tier one, but he's a high end tier two at least, like for quarterbacks because of his rushing ability. And then you have so bad with names right now.
Rodgers.
Rodgers. But I'm like the receiver on the Bears.
Darnell Mooney.
There we go. And then you have Cole Kmet. And then and then you have two running backs on the Packers: Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. And then just on Monday, you have Josh Allen, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Kirk Cousins, Sanders, Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown. That's a lot.
Yeah, and they're playing Minnesota, Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. It's just a slew between Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. Mm-hmm. Eight teams, and like I was suggesting, half of your better implied totals are on the main slate. So building a lineup is not exceedingly easy. So I would say even this week you focus that much more on your higher implied totals and try to find your better matchups because you don't have a lot of talent as compared to other weeks.
Derek Carr could be a good option. Could be a good option too for quarterback.
The funny thing is, I had him as well. He's at 6,200. Looks like right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were who are they playing against? They're playing the Cardinals. Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
And they gave up a large number of points last year too.
The Cardinals gave up 44 points last week.
Yes, I mean that's an excellent matchup. You got to pay up a little bit, but it's still good.
Mm-hmm. Baker against the Giants. I mean, I know Baker put up 19 points. I can see him doing better than 235 and a touchdown against the Giants because I'm not going to say the Titans are elite. They went up against a team with just Derrick Henry, no receivers. So Baker could be a solid option if you want to throw a flyer at a quarterback for 53. I think that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's pretty much me too. So we'll go over running backs real quick next. I'll just run down my list, and you can add anything you want to along the way. I went with opportunity for both. I mean, Nick Chubb's higher priced, so you could always go Kareem Hunt. But in all honesty, they're priced similarly. Nick Chubb's 7,100. Kareem Hunt 6,600. They're playing versus the Giants. I really like James Conner at the Raiders. They gave up the sixth most fantasy points last year. His price tag is $6,900. Javonte Williams is sitting at $6,500. I'm going to leave this one out. I wrote it down, but I don't know. And Antonio Gibson last week had so much work out of the passing game. I'm not sure if he'll be able to replicate that or not. So that's probably not great. You've already mentioned Darrell Henderson at $5,700. And then the one big name that we're forgetting or haven't mentioned at this point in time, Jeff Wilson playing against Seattle. Elijah Mitchell's now out for 2 months, and Jeff Wilson is priced at $5,100. And the Seahawks last year gave up the seventh most fantasy points to running back. So I think Jeff Wilson at that price tag could be your best bargain.
Somebody I'm going to throw out there. Let me see. We didn't mention Leonard Fournette. Because there's no Godwin. We don't even know about Russell Gage. So it's just Mike Evans, who hasn't had a good game against the Saints in like 5 years. So somebody's got to do something. And Brady likes to check downs to receivers. I mean, to running backs. So I think Fournette can be a great play. You mentioned Chubb and Hunt. DeAndre Swift is right under Nick Chubb at 7,000. You mentioned James Conner already. Najee Harris at 6,200. I mean, we already know Bill likes to remove the good players. So, but he's sitting there at 65. Granted, he didn't have a great game running the ball, but he had a great game receiving the ball. You mentioned Javonte Williams. There was somebody else. There's no Ty Montgomery, who actually had like a third of the targets or the rushing attempts from the Patriots, but Damian Harris can be a solid option. I can't find his price tag. He has to be very cheap. I just can't find it. Maybe I'm blind and I missed it.
Who are you looking for?
Damian Harris. He's sitting at 5,500. And he only had 9 carries, but now there's no Ty Montgomery, who had a lot of, like, a third of the work, which I don't know why. They ran with 3 running backs instead of just 2 and somebody to give somebody a breather. But you remove, like, a third of the targets and you give it to – even you split it evenly, he's going to have maybe 15 to 20 carries and, like, 5 targets out of the backfield.
So you're a big Patriots fan. Who do you think benefits more, Harris or Stevenson?
I think Stevenson. Because he will end up being like the third down back, and he's going to see more targets out of the backfield instead of carries. So in PPR leagues, I think Stevenson will see slightly more work if you're looking at it like in a 50-50 aspect. But I just think rushing attempts, the better runner overall is Damian Harris. So especially like in the red zone, I think if they make it to the red zone, I think Damian Harris gets the call there. But if it's anything like last year where it was almost 50-50, you still have to give the edge to Damian Harris because he always put up better numbers.
I would tend to agree. I mean, Stevenson seems to be the player that didn't do anything last week that could be a sleeper. What's his price tag right now?
55? Yeah, 55.
He could be a sneaky play. It's a tough defense and a low – kind of a relatively expected low-scoring game, according to Vegas, but you never can tell.
On to receivers.
Yeah, let's go on to receivers. So I'll throw up mine again. I like Jalen Waddle at the Ravens. He's at 6,400. Michael Pittman, like I mentioned at the beginning, you got to see if he plays, but if he does play, he had well over 100 yards receiving last week. He's playing against the Jags. He's at 6,700. We've already mentioned both Sutton and Judy as potential. I mentioned Higgins, liking him a little bit. The other one I've got, DJ Chark against the Washington football team. He's sitting at 5,100, looks like. So those are a few names I'd throw out there.
For me, I'm going to continue to throw him out because I did for like half the season last year. I'm on Ross St. Brown at 65. There's Marquise Brown. I'm saying him because he's on my redraft, so he better do something.
Well, yeah, one thing about Marquise, just like last week, Zach Ertz is more healthy.
Yeah.
But Rondell Moore's out. And Hopkins is going to be suspended for the first 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got 5 more.
No, but he's sitting at 6,200. He should see. The entire Cardinals offense just needs to be better because it was completely terrible last week.
They came out flat, and I forget how many points they were. They were 30 points or more behind, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was bad. I have Brandon Cooks here at 6,000. Can't ever forget about him.
No, he's our poster child.
Mm-hmm. Let mentioned Robbie Anderson. I mentioned Christian Kirk. You mentioned Chark. Sterling Shepard at 4,900. You never know. He was very good last year.
And he said he had a heck of a game last week. What was his final totals?
He was 2 for 71 with a touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most of his work came off a 65-yard touchdown pass.
Other than that, but at the same time, I was just glad to see him healthy and out there running routes.
Yeah.
And he's usually not going to be that long touchdown guy.
No.
But they'll pepper him over the middle typically. So,
other than that, I mean, if you expect the Patriots offense to be better, you can throw a dart at Jacoby Myers. You know, he's going to get you the targets. He's going to get you the yards. He's sitting at 4,400. I don't know if Devin Duvernay is going to continue to catch 2 touchdowns every week, because that's pretty much his fantasy production last week.
One thing I'll say, Vegas isn't giving him any respect. But I know we're both hoping that the Steelers and Patriots offense looks better than last week. And I think they can. There's enough players there.
Mm-hmm. If Nelson Agholor doesn't fumble and actually scores a touchdown, that's 10 points for him.
Yeah.
That might be it in terms of what I have.
Okay. I'll go over my tight ends real quick. I don't have many tight ends. I do really like Zach Ertz this week against the Raiders. He's fully healthy. He scored a touchdown last week, and, you know, it came in the game kind of banged up. So I like him. He's sitting at 4,500. I like Tyler Higbee. Pretty much I like the entire Rams offense versus the Falcons. He's sitting at 4,200. He had a pretty good game last week. Even though nobody else did, Higbee actually played well. And last but not least, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but I like Albert O versus the Texans at 3,700. Those are my tight ends.
For me, who do I have here? Schultz is usually a quarterback's like safety blanket. Tight ends are usually their safety blanket. Can't ever forget about Hawk. He's usually a target magnet, but as long as receivers continue to develop, I don't know if he's going to give the same production as last year. And it's surprising that he scored 30-plus points and he only has 4 catches for 38 yards. But, like I said, you can never forget about Hawk. Freiermuth? What was this? 5 for 75? Yeah,
I jotted him down. I'm just, being on the show with you, I was a little reluctant to list him. So,
I think that's it for tight ends.
And last but not least, you can't ever forget about defense. Like I mentioned, tight end and defense are a couple of places I try to save money. So these are all cheaper defenses. I wrote down both Mavs, Pats, and my Steelers. Actually, the Pats, 2,900. Steelers, 28. The last two teams I've got down here is the Dolphins at the Ravens, 2,300. And the Saints versus the Bucks at 24. I rarely, if ever, go above 3,200. And I really prefer to stay below 3,000 to keep my salary intact and keep it work manageable. So,
I actually think there's some defenses that can do some damage this week. So, anybody playing the Jets? So, who's playing the Jets this week?
Who is that?
Cleveland.
I'm drawing a mental blank. Who the Jets have?
Cleveland, the Browns. So, Browns defense, they're 3,700, but they're playing Joe Flacco. You have to take advantage as long as Joe Flacco is the quarterback on that team. Denver going up against Davis Mills. That could be very good, especially they're going to Denver. So that's even better. The Dolphins offense only scored 13 points because, right? Was it 13? I'm pretty sure they won 20-7 last week. Am I forgetting?
What was that when I missed it, man?
The Dolphins. Yeah. Okay. So 20-7, right? The Dolphins offense only scored 13 points, right? And that's probably be. So I'm not expecting for the Dolphins defense to really do that much better, because the Patriots didn't look good whatsoever. So give me the Ravens defense as well. I think they'll take advantage and they'll pounce. on Tua and his weak armed self. They're sitting at 3,600. What else do we have here? I think that I don't see much for the cheaper defenses.
Well, hopefully we've given everybody a lot of choices. It's kind of tough being only the second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't really have, I mean, at least I don't. I don't think most people do have a complete configuration of what's going on. And the slate's weird because there's a lot of the better offenses are playing in mainstream games. But still, hopefully we've given them enough options to
something I will say to too.
Have some fun anyway.
For 2,200, you can take a flyer on the Jets defense. Last time the Jets beat the Browns, I think it was 2020. I don't know if they played last year last year. So in 2020, when the entire receiving core was on COVID protocol, the Jets stopped the Browns rushing attack. So, and now the quarterback is Jacoby Brissett, who's not going to beat you throwing the ball. They're going to beat you with the running backs. You can take a flyer on the Jets and you can hope they do the same as they did in 2020. And that's shut down the rushing attack and that's forcing Jacoby Brissett to beat you with his arm.
My question is, why not? I mean,
right. So for
a lot of times when you go to these cheaper defenses, I prefer the Bengals and they should have been set at a different price. Yeah. But that being said, if you want to be contrarian, I'd say go for it. And
yeah, for 2,200.
Well, the best thing that going with 2,200 does is opens up room elsewhere.
They give you the 10 points that they start with anyway. So yeah, that's the best part.
You get to save money elsewhere. So
yeah, so that's all I got.
Well, that sounds great. Like I said, most weeks or pretty much every week after this week, we'll have spread picks. Last year, I know we had a really good time with it. Makes it a little different just being the two of us. So I still think we'd have a good time with it, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's still a good time.
So we'll do that next week. But unless you have anything else, we'll go ahead and sign off for week two.
Yes.
You ready to call it a night as well, Mav?
Yeah.
If you want to, go ahead and give your Twitter handles. Tell people where they can find you.
I mean, you can just my Twitter is I've changed it. I do a lot more content gaming, so it's MV Shin Doom on Twitter. If you have anything, if you want to, you can tell me the Patriots suck if you want. That'd be great with me. Yeah, I'm more welcome to tell me that. Make fun of me for how bad they might be this year. Who knows at this point? It's all right. Next off season, we're gonna have a lot more money. Team should be better. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm aiming for this year. So yeah, you can find me on there. In terms of fantasy football content, just this, taking a bit of a step back this year as I try to work on everything else.
That's okay, as long as we're still having fun. So as for me, you can find me at VandyGrad92. I'm right there on Twitter. I had a podcast last night with Going for Two. We're doing a dynasty podcast there. Then tonight, of course, Mav and I join together. And then don't forget, on Sunday, we'll have our live stream here. And for fantasy's sake, it'll kick off right at 10 and last for an hour and a half. And hopefully I will tune in out of that. Great guys based out of Iowa. Got some very great guys we're working for here, so we're excited. But thanks for everybody that tuned in. Hopefully y'all win all your fantasy weeks this week, and we hope you have a great week. Once again, we'll be back next week, and we'll be here weekly for the rest of the season. We're just excited. We're back in week two. Week one was, you know, a good week. There's a lot of interesting games. We're excited to be back with the NFL. So, like I said, hope everybody has a great week. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.